Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Getting Savvy in Health, Wealth, and Beauty. Important to note that everything is for entertainment purposes only. Please do speak and meet with a financial advisor before making any investment decisions. And also, please meet and speak with your GP before making any health or beauty decisions.
Okay, everybody, we are back. It's 2025, and it's our first episode for 2025, Melissa. And I think we're going to really look at it in terms of what's in and what's out for this year, our little predictions-ish.
Totally.
But first of all, it's Sunday. We normally do this on a Thursday, but it's just been a busy start to the year. So I was asking you, what did you do today?
And I was saying, I just got back from playing tennis. And I had such a great game. And I was saying, we have to play because I don't think you and I have rallied for a couple years now.
Yeah.
And I remember we did a clinic together like 5 years ago, and I've gotten so much better.
I'm sure you're great. And I think you're probably good then.
So. I'm still not good. Don't get me wrong. I'm still not very good, but I've like been playing these ladder matches. And it's a lot of fun.
Nice. It's such a great game. And by the way, I did, we were just in Florida and I got a phenomenal tennis racket. And I swear this tennis racket helped my game dramatically.
Why is it better? Is it heavier? Like you get more power or is it a
more
bigger pace? Like a bigger?
More power, more control.
Okay.
It's unbelievable.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's
play.
I'm ready for
you. All right.
You can see, predictions for 2000. Who would win? I don't even know. Do you play games or do you mostly just do lessons?
I love games.
Okay, so let's play. I'm so excited.
Okay.
All right.
Are we going to do you and Adam against Les and I?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Was it?
I don't know.
Adam is the most annoying person to play tennis with, though. Let me just forewarn you. Okay. He can't hit a forehand, but his serve is amazing. And then he just runs up to the net and smacks everything down. So figure out your strategy knowing that. Okay.
Okay. Great. Okay. Less is somewhat the same, but he can't run actually, but he can hit hard.
Okay.
Maybe they should play together.
Yeah. Maybe it's us against them.
Yeah, actually, speaking of tennis, Melissa, we didn't prep for this, so I don't know if you've got it on the tip of your tongue, but there's been a lot of studies that playing tennis is one of the best sports you can do as you age, like mentally. Is that right? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, there was a study that says that number one sport for longevity, the people that tend to live longest are people that play racket sports, specifically tennis, now pickleball. It's, you know, so those sports. And it's like one of those things, it's like, are people in, you know, in order to be playing tennis into your 70s and 80s, you have to be in excellent shape. So is it that the people that are still playing tennis as they get older are the fit ones in advance? Or, you know, do they have higher socioeconomic status? Or is it actually just something about having to be able to be mentally focused, have the strength, have the ballast, have the socialization and camaraderie? There's a lot of really great things about tennis that I think makes sense for it to correlate well with aging well.
Interesting.
Actually, a study I was looking at, I don't know if you've seen this all over social media, but they're saying one of the best predictors of how well you're aging is balance. And so they say you should see how long you can stand on one leg, and you should be able to do this for 30 seconds. Anyhow, you can stand on one leg later. And then you want to challenge yourself, do it with your eyes closed and see how long you can do it.
And then what about doing it in heels?
And do it in heels.
Bravo.
With a drink. Actually, not with a drink. We'll talk about it later on. What's out for 2025? Alcohol is out.
So. Alcohol is out. Now, why do you say that? Okay, everybody, we're doing ins and outs a little bit here. So you think alcohol is out for 2025?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was right at the beginning of the year. I think it was like January 2nd or 3rd. The Surgeon General came out saying that alcohol companies should put a warning label on alcoholic beverages saying that it's a carcinogen, meaning it increases your risk of cancer. So the link between alcohol increasing risk for cancer is undeniable. I think it increases your risk for about 9 different cancers. And they're saying that the community should, a lot of people don't know about this risk. And so the same way that they had tobacco companies put the risk of, you know, tobacco and cancer on cigarette packs, they should do the same thing on alcohol. And with that news, I think alcohol stocks dropped, you know, because, you know, you think that, you know, people are becoming more worried about alcohol in terms of how it affects their health, it might drop sales. And actually, they are seeing that Gen Z is drinking less than, you know, boomers and Gen Xers and millennials.
So but what are they doing instead? Because
California sober or Cali sober. Do you know what that means?
No.
So if someone says they're like Cali sober or California sober, it's they don't drink alcohol, but they might smoke marijuana or use like mushroom gummies, those sorts of
things.
So, I mean, that's better until it's not also, right?
Right.
And that's one of the things with alcohol. Like since I've been a doctor, the guidelines have changed so many times. Like we used to say, recommend, you know, first of all, at one point during my medical career, they were saying that, you know, alcohol could be beneficial for your health. You know, red wine had resveratrol. It was good for cardiovascular health. At one point, they were saying a little bit of wine was good for you. Then we were counseling people that for women, less than 2 drinks a day, and for men, less than 3 drinks a day. Now they're saying that's way too much. Okay. Now they're saying no amount of alcohol is safe or healthy. And well, I shouldn't say safe. No amount of alcohol is good for your health. Mm-hmm. And they're recommending that, you know, people try to stick to less than 3 drinks a week. Mm-hmm. So it just keeps going down and down and down. But I think a good fact too is that alcohol was listed as the third preventable cause of death, right? Third preventable cause of cancer. So obesity and tobacco are above it. Alcohol's third. So I think when you're looking at your overall risk of things that you can prevent, I mean, obviously there's things in our life that we can't prevent, like our genetics. But if we're looking at how to prevent, you have to look at everything, you know, together. So if you're not obese and you don't smoke, then maybe you say, okay, I'm going to, you know, allow myself, you know, up to 10 drinks a week. But people that, you know, are using tobacco and they're overweight or obese, then these risks really add up. So I feel like people are trying to drink less. It's dry January for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, and so maybe I should just bring up.
I sent you a funny. Did you see that? I sent you a funny meme today.
I didn't see it. Oh,
it's like this funny thing on social media. Like they're doing dry January, and then someone says, "Well, what about so and so's wedding?" And they're like, "Well, that's an exception." Well, what about so and so's? Well, you know, that's an exception. Well, what about if someone toasts you? Well, anyhow, I think the goal is to try to have some alcohol-free. If you're someone that drinks every day, to try to cut that habit and have some alcohol-free days to get used to being able to socialize without it, and just to be more mindful. That, you know, even if it's just a social glass of wine, it adds up.
Yeah.
It can be carcinogenic. Yeah.
So, you know, one of the great things I think that I did to start the year was go to the ranch. And so that's this like health retreat. I guess it's been around for quite some time in California, but I was like, you know, we were in Florida and why don't I, rather than going right home with my husband, I popped up to New York. So it's the Ranch Hudson Valley. And it's in this old, stunning, I'm going to put up some pictures, stunning mansion in the Hudson Valley area. And the mansion was originally built by J.P. Morgan, so the bank J.P. Morgan, for his daughter as a wedding gift. And it was her summer home. And the fireplaces are so large, you can literally walk in them. And, you know, I went with two other girlfriends and we had a fabulous time. I did not know what to expect because, you know, you get up at 5:30 in the morning and I was like, I haven't done that for years. But interestingly, in all of 2024, my goal was to actually get up at 5:30 in the morning. I never did it, but you feel so good because, you know, you end up falling asleep so easily and so naturally at night and early. And it was a digital detox in addition to literally moving, you know, all day long. You start your day, you know, you get up at 5:30, you start your day with a 6 o'clock stretch for half an hour, which feels so awesome. So I'm trying to implement that now. And then you go on either a 2 or 4 hour hike. And then there's exercise classes throughout the day and all your services in the afternoon, like massages. and Reiki, if you want to do Reiki or what have you. And, you know, it was just so phenomenal, Melissa, that, you know, it was just, it was such a way, even though we implement healthy things for ourselves every day, like that's always my goal. This was a way to do it in such an immersed fashion that I think you learn a lot. And, you know, my goal now is to have my ranch days throughout the week. So getting up at 5:30, doing the stretches, doing the infrared, all of that stuff, and eating really healthfully. So,
well, some days that you're waking up at 5:30, can you let me know? Because I have to get my daughter to volleyball practice for 7. And it's like the worst day for me because I'm such not a morning person. I hate waking up early in the morning.
I know.
Like, if you're able to go to bed early and you're able to get to bed by 9:30, 10, then great. But the problem is there tends to be so much chaos during the week that that never seems to happen. And then you just don't want to be exhausted. But
yep.
But yeah. I agree. Like if you feel so good when you're sleeping well, eating well, exercising, not drinking, and taking time for your own self-care, like you feel amazing.
Amazing.
And with you, that should be a priority for us, you know?
Yeah. It was so good. It was so good. I've signed up again and I haven't told my husband because he's like, what's this ranch thing? I don't get it. I'm like, forget it. You're not allowed to know or go.
Yeah.
By the way, there was only one man there. So the capacity is 30 people.
Okay.
The accommodations were beautiful. The pool was stunning. I mean, I honestly can't say enough about it. And, but there was only one man. There was only 22 of us and one was a man. And, you know, I don't think my husband could do it. I mean.
Because he couldn't do that amount of exercise, or he couldn't do no meat. Because you don't allow to eat meat, or he couldn't do alcohol, or all of the above.
It's all of the above. And a 2-hour come on. And a 2-hour hike. I mean, and it was -17. I brought an old one piece ski suit. And and then I was I was sweating.
Yeah. So I remember during COVID, one of my favorite parts of COVID was we went up to our cottage in the winter and we would go cross-country skiing outside and it would be freezing outside. And normally in the winter, I try to avoid being outside in the cold. But if you actually embrace it and dress for it, and actually, then it can be amazing and so invigorating being out in nature. I think also there's something about the sunlight reflecting off the snow and the light. And it's very,
interesting.
So good for you. I'm actually jealous. My kids are skiing today and I'm getting the itch because it's such a beautiful day. And
yeah.
I think that's the way to enjoy the winter. Like you either have to escape it and travel, or if you're going to be in it, then you have to dress properly and actually go out in nature and go out in the cold and do physical exercise. Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome.
That's in 2025. Exercise is also in.
Exercise is in. When was it not in?
Well, I think that it's even more so because it used to be always in the context of, so I think exercise for weight loss used to be in, and I think that's out. I think people are realizing now, especially with all the GLP-1 drugs like Ozempic and that we've talked about, that really when it comes to weight, it's about 90% what you put in your mouth. It's about eating less calories. And exercise, I think people are, and you know, because there was so many like years and years where people were working out all the time and it was like a hamster on a wheel. They're just exercising, then they're starving and then they're feeling like they're rewarding themselves by eating a lot of food. And so they're not actually losing any weight. And I think now people are realizing, let's focus on what we're eating and the amount we're eating to lose weight. And then exercise is really about building muscle. So weightlifting so that we can preserve our metabolism and be strong and fit and age better for longevity. And also just about mental health and overall health.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Melissa, because, you know, again, when we were at the ranch, I mean, we were exercising, you know, a solid 4 or 5 hours a day, depending. But the other thing that was that I learned, which I didn't know, is they had a nutritionist there too. And they did do the BOD pod so they could analyze how much fat you had. And I didn't really know that you're supposed to eat 1 gram of protein per pound that you weigh. Which
That's a lot. So,
it's fun.
I mean, again, this varies based on different things, but so in bodybuilding, if you're trying to gain muscle, you can eat 1 gram per pound, but that's really hard to do. That's a lot of protein. That's if you're trying to put on muscle. So, give an example, you know, if you're a 120-pound woman, that's 120 grams of protein a day. That's a lot. Actually, then some people say, well, as long as you're getting 1 gram per kilogram, that's enough to not lose muscle. But again, you want to get somewhere between half a kilogram per pound.
But I didn't really know that. And so I've been making a really conscious effort. I mean, I always eat protein, but I never really would get up to that much. So like as an example, today I've already had 50 grams.
In what way? What did you
So
eat? Grams.
I had salmon for lunch.
Okay.
And then one of the things I bought when I was at the ranch, they have this green, like a powder, and it's got all your greens, and then it also has 17 grams of protein. So I do that
Oh,
every
okay.
morning.
Yeah, great. So there's this other thing that's going around social media right now. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a trend called the 30-30-30 trend.
No.
So Gary Brecka, who's a big influencer in the health and wellness space, I think he touts the benefits of this also. But basically, they're saying to people, within 30 minutes of waking up, you should try to consume 30 grams of protein and then exercise for 30 minutes.
Wow.
So he's saying within 30 minutes of waking up, 30 grams of protein. So that could be like people tend to
It's a
get
can
protein.
of salmon. It's a can of salmon, basically.
Okay, so a can of salmon, or you could do it in terms of like egg omelet, like egg whites.
Yeah.
Do a protein shake that has the protein powder in it. Greek yogurt has a lot of protein. So 30 grams of protein within 30 minutes of waking up. And then in the morning, you're supposed to try to get some sort of cardiovascular exercise for 30 minutes. So, like, it is good advice, but again, I feel like these types of fad diets are
Yeah.
because I think people are realizing, like, people wasted so much time in the last, decades and all these different books. So carbs are in, and then carbs are out, and then it's about meat, and then it's about, and the reality is none of that matters. What matters is how many calories you are eating in the day. And that's why these Ozempic has been so successful. People are like, wow, I can actually eat what I want. I can have a bagel so long as that I'm not overeating my calories and
Yeah.
and so I think that's interesting. But I still think that's good advice. Generally speaking, if you're getting, that 30 minutes of physical exercise every day, that's a healthy thing no matter what. And 30 grams of protein, I don't know if I could do that within 30 minutes of waking up. Like, that's too much for me right away. I have to wait on my protein. But I do get that, for my first meal of the day.
So alcohol out, fad diets out. Let me tell you what unfortunately seems, well, it's in terms of a top topic, which of course are tariffs. So let's just talk a little bit about this. The markets certainly have been weak, heading into the end of the year and the beginning of the year, not dramatically, but certainly on the weak side. And part of it is really because of the increased talk that President Trump is going to impose tariffs on the Canadian economy. And Prime Minister Trudeau has said that we will retaliate by putting tariffs on US goods such as orange juice, bourbon from Kentucky, so big Republican states. He is saying that we will tax that. We could also, some people have suggested that maybe they would even go so far as to have an export tax of our oil. I don't know if that can be done because I don't know if that's federal or provincial. But anyway, it's a it's a big topic, and a lot of economists and strategists are sitting back and saying, well, is he really going to impose tariffs because and also increase deportation because that's going to exacerbate inflation in the United States. So is President Trump going to choose tariffs and deportation over growth? And that's I think why the markets have been a little bit, certainly on the jittery side. I think that, personally, I think, I'm sure he's trying to protect industries and industries he thinks, but I also think he's using it as a negotiation tactic. And I think ultimately, we will have a year and therefore hopefully a market of what he also ran on, which was, pro-business, pro-growth, pro-business, decreased regulation, decreased waste. wasteful money from a government perspective, and tax cuts. And all of that would obviously be beneficial to the U.S. economy. Hopefully we trickle over to Canada. But just to say one more thing on this, you know, when now Canada is obviously concerned about our largest trading partner, it's $1 trillion worth of business that goes back and forth. You know, we have not done a good enough job over the past 8 years looking for other trading partners. So big miss on Canada's strategy. There was no strategy. And then also we have a lot of interprovincial trade barriers and far too much regulation in this country as well. There are, in other words, there are things that we could and should be doing at home that, you know, that can help offset situations like the one we're in right now.
What do you mean? Like what could we do here to offset the situation? So you're saying the industries that rely on exporting to the US, now, if they're not going to be importing our stuff as much because there's going to be a big tax on it, what are we going to do? And who else are we going to trade with? And is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. And we should have learned that. I thought we did the first time around. But there's been no leadership in the Liberal Party that made enough of a difference.
So what industries do you think are going to be hit most by these tariffs here in Canada?
You know, I'm not sure really, Melissa, right now. I mean, I don't know if there would be anything on our oil, which is
lumber,
it's possible.
Oil.
Your obvious would be lumber, dairy, and energy. And agriculture, it just depends on, you know, how much the United States actually needs our oil versus, I think President Trump was recently saying that they don't need it as much. I'm not sure. So you know, they import their refineries need our heavy crude.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they talk about how it's going to increase fracking there if they don't, you know, use our oil. And also like now with everything that's going on in California, they might need people to build and work that they may otherwise be deporting. And they probably need some lumber to build energy. I don't know. I mean, I just, when I see all this attack on Canada, and then, you know, when we see these horrific fires that are going on in California, and then you see how Canada is rushing to help. Like, I don't know if you've seen pictures. One of my friends who's in LA sent me a video of one of these planes or helicopters from Quebec that they sent over to take water. It's going over there and dumping it on the fires. And like, we're so quick to help them and then they're going to try to fight with us. I don't really understand the goal of bullying your neighbor and best friend. I'm not sure what, you know, I get it that they're trying to bolster their economy and they're trying to, you know, you haven't done a good job protecting the borders, but I feel like it's, you know, I've listened to Polyev talk on this as well. Like maybe they should focus more on China as opposed to, and working with us against them rather than, you know, attacking us.
I do agree. I do agree. Speaking of China, I think one of the things that I've never been a China bull in the market, really. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I have bought their ETFs in the past, and I have bought a couple of Chinese stocks. I have, but over the past number of years, just with all the geopolitical concerns and concerns with respect to intellectual property theft from China, that I haven't been as interested to look at it. But I did read an interesting research report from a group that I really respect. And if China and their leaders are if they actually do what they say they're thinking of, which is adding stimulus to the economy because their economy needs it because their growth has been slowing for years, then their equity markets could look really interesting. So that is something that to me, it might be an in for 2025.
Interesting.
And there's ETFs. I just want to point out that there are ETFs that represent China that you can buy in Canada. And one is XCH. And then ZCH. So those are two that you can look at if you want.
XCH and ZCH. Okay, interesting. So how's this going to affect my Temu?
Oh, That's a whole different story.
I think that's a whole different one. Yeah, I have to tell you, like, I put an order from them recently because I just wanted to order some, like, cheap and cheerful clothes for my daughter before we went on vacation and some bathing suits. And I don't know if it was just this order, but since the last time I ordered, which was a few months ago, the quality was so bad compared to what it had been. It made me wonder if they're like cutting costs or something.
Interesting.
Yeah, like there was a noticeable difference. I don't know if it was just happened to be the five or this time, but it was like, yeah, not good.
Okay. Well, and I also think too that Amazon is getting more and more into clothes.
More what, sorry?
Amazon
More
is
into
getting,
clothes? Oh,
particularly.
yeah.
Oh, maybe you did
Yeah,
all.
I have a pair of sweatpants I wore last night from Amazon. Amazon's great. And they actually have, so there's this app. I don't know if you have it. It's called LTK. Like,
No.
to it, no. And so they have some influencers that specifically order things off Amazon, and then you can follow them, and then you can get the links to buy the stuff on Amazon.
Oh.
They'll be like, Aritzia, if you can't afford Aritzia, this is the Amazon dupe of that you can get of the Aritzia outfits. So just check it out
Amazing.
called LTK. And that's how a lot of these that's how a lot of them advertise now, through following influencers, and then you can see what they're buying. Yeah, I've
That's
done.
so interesting. I will look at that. I actually bought a cute dress. I think it looks like Chanel, but I bought it off of Amazon. It's
Yeah,
hysterical
maybe
for
you can get.
$40.
Yeah, Amazon's in.
What's that? Amazon stopped.
Amazon's in.
Yeah, Amazon. Okay, let's write that one down. Amazon is in. AMZN, right? So we need to like maybe buy the stock. And that's again to remind everybody, that's what this is about. We talk about the things that we know, we like, we are interested in or curious about. And then I always look, is there a stock associated with it? And just to go back to Aritzia for a second, on one of our podcasts, I did talk about looking at Aritzia, and I did not buy the stock. And I actually was, I bought quite a few clothes there for people for Christmas. And the store was busy. Like, again, I used to cover specialty retail companies when I worked on Wall Street. Cover means I worked in the equity research group. And so I only analyzed for a number of years retail stocks. You build the financial models, you do store checks, you look at the traffic, you look at how many promotions this year versus last year. And the traffic was so strong at Aritzia. I was like, wow. Anyway, they just reported their numbers last week and the stock was up significantly. So it's a huge winner. I'm not saying like, look, if the stock had been up 100% or like so significantly and they had even good reports, like a good earnings report, the stock could be down because the stock had already moved so much. Sometimes the stocks move ahead of earnings. But what I am saying, so I'm not saying just buy something because you walk into a store and there's tons of people around. You have to do more homework than that.
But
But
also look around you, like most people you know own something from Aritzia.
yeah. You're
And
right.
if you look at your own wardrobe, there's a lot of stuff from Aritzia. And kids buy tons for, like, if you can sell to kids and tweens and teenagers, oh my God, they buy tons of stuff from Aritzia. And the super puff jacket is so popular. That was a big one for them. Yeah, Aritzia.
Okay. Yeah. So the stock was up like 16% on the back of this news. It's been up by about 94% over the past year. It's been a huge winner. So
Yeah.
again, I don't like to buy stocks when they've had such a run. But speaking of one other stock I want to mention, then we'll move on to yours too, because you'd mentioned this to me, Costco. They came out with really strong numbers the other day and that stock was up. So they've had increased traffic. So interestingly, when we think about the big the big picture in the market right now, even though there's a lot of concerns with respect to tariffs and geopolitics, you also have a lot good news out there, right? You've got Costco, which is strong. Delta Airlines. Remember, I said on one of these podcasts that I had such great experience on Delta. That stock came out with some very good earnings the other day and pushed that up dramatically again. So you've got travel is strong. You've got consumer strong. The US jobs numbers was a huge blowout last Friday. And that's in part why the market sold off because the market, like it's where good news is bad news. The jobs numbers in the United States were so strong, but that's leading people to believe that the US Federal Reserve won't cut interest rates until
So
October.
Okay, so slow that down a little bit because I have to understand this. Okay, so that was a bit confusing to me too because it seemed like there was such good news. Wow, the jobs are, you know, way better than people thought. Employment is great. The jobs, you know, the people aren't suffering. People are employed. They're making money. But then the market sold off, meaning stocks dropped. So it was like, oh, this is great. But then for Wall Street, it's bad. So I couldn't figure that out initially. And then, like you said, well, does that mean we are going to get more inflation? And if we get more inflation, then we can't cut the interest rates. Is that correct understanding?
Yeah. I mean, it's not even that we'll get more inflation. It's it's that
or that it's not tamed or whatever. Or go ahead. Sorry.
It's that the economy is strong enough that we don't need anybody to stimulate it.
Okay.
And you can stimulate it through fiscal policy, which is what the government runs, or monetary policy, which is the Fed or the Bank of Canada. So monetary policy is, you know, is where you could go and lower rates, but you don't need. So remember, when we lower rates, we make borrowing less
and people
expensive.
Are going to go out and buy more. And I see. Okay.
And then they go out and buy more. And, you know, going back, Melissa, like, you know, I mean, I started in the investment business in like 1995. And I moved to the States in 97 to do equity research and then to be on the trading desk at Goldman. And back then, we really didn't focus so much on central bankers or the U.S. Federal Reserve, right? The U.S.'s central bank. And the reason is because, you know, the economy should just be able to operate as is. It's a bit of a beef of mine, but since the financial crisis, we had central bankers around the world, you know, lower rates to be able to stimulate the economy to get it going again. And so they have been front and center in the markets for so long now. We're so used to it and so accustomed to it. I'm saying this because it didn't used to be, it didn't used to have such a force and a factor in the markets. So to your point, on Friday, when the US jobs numbers were blowout to the upside, it did cause people to say, well, wait, it's so strong, the US Federal Reserve won't lower rates. It wasn't always like that.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like it's not organic anymore. It's like there's outside forces that are now.
That's exactly it.
More.
That's exactly it.
Okay. And I think the Canadian jobs were strong as well, weren't they?
They were strong as well, but what I want to point out, they were about 90,000. And but what I want to point out is that the majority of that was public jobs, like government jobs. And, you know, governments aren't known for creating productivity.
Right.
Or innovation. So it's, you know, you always also want to look at the composition of what those jobs are.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now from a health perspective, what else is in or what's out?
We talked about probably subtle plastic surgery seems to be in. I don't know if you watched the what was it? Was it the Golden Globe? What was the
Golden Globe?
And I mean, the stars looked amazing. It seems like people are like aging backwards and looking great, but it seems like the age of the puffy face is kind of out. The overfilled face, the bloated face, maybe the overweight face seems to be out. And instead, people are looking more refined. You can tell they're having little tweaks done, but not in such a massive way. So subtle facelifts, blepharoplasties like eyelids.
A lot of people are doing that, it seems.
Yeah, again, it's a subtle surgery that, you know, isn't a massive facelift, but could still give a brightening, lifted effect. So I think plastic surgeons are going to be, I mean, it's a booming industry, which is a good thing and a bad thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, part of me, I have to say, when I watch those award shows and I look at all these stars, they're seems like every single one of them is on a GLP-1 type drug, whether it's Ozempic or something. They're all so skinny. And frankly, some of them are too skinny. Oh, like Nicole Kidman, Angelina Jolie, Ariana Grande, Demi Moore. I mean, they're real. To be that skinny, like, they're not eating.
They're not getting their protein.
Yeah, I mean, so they're just like the skin, like there was just a lot of skinny. And they're having surgery, and I think it's creating an unrealistic ideal for what beautiful is that's not attainable to the majority of people unless they are wealthy or are willing to take certain risks with their health. Like, you know, I don't think the average person should feel like they have to take a medication and do a surgery in order to be beautiful, right?
Right.
And so I don't love the way that that's heading. Did you see Demi Moore's the movie that she won for?
No.
Is I haven't it good? Seen it yet either. I really want to watch it, but I think it sort of speaks to that.
What is it? Do you know the name? Or I'll just look it up.
Look it up.
Okay.
Anyhow, so, but I do think so, less filler, less overly injected faces, but I do think we're going to see more and more.
But most of the, when people do the eyelid surgery.
And I also think, sorry, just to interrupt you for a sec. I also think so many people are losing so much weight that they have so much excess skin after being on these drugs that they are then getting a facelift, or they're feeling like they need to get a tummy tuck or a breast lift. They just don't know what to do with the extra skin. So, yeah. Okay, sorry.
No, I was going to say, shoot. Oh, yeah, when you look at the stars who get the eyelid surgery done, there's been a lot over the number of years. We're only now, I think, recognizing it, but I feel like it changes the look of someone's eyes. It changes the whole shape. So you have to be okay with it.
Yeah. So that's the fear. I mean, I think that people remember Renee Zellweger. She was the first one who, cause she was known to have those sort of like hooded eyes.
Yeah.
She all of a sudden came back and she just looked like a different person. And it's like, whoa, like, you don't want, that's not what you want. And I think that's when I said, again, this subtle surgery where it's like, you know, you look, I mean, a lot of people are thinking about Lindsay Lohan and everybody's obsessed with what did she do, because she just looked so much more lifted. So a lot of people are hypothesizing that maybe she had a brow lift or maybe she had a eyelid surgery, but that's an example of a good one. If you don't know, then that's good.
Yeah. Okay. But Melissa, we've talked about this briefly on another podcast, but like, I don't understand how you lift the brow. Like what are you lifting? You're lifting my eyebrow?
Correct.
How?
And you know, we have a friend who's a ENT plastic surgeon. And so we can have him on to talk about this a little bit. So there's different types of brow lifts. So it used to be, they would basically like cut and lift the entire forehead and gave people kind of a very surprised look. And so they've sort of gone away from that. And now more people are doing sort of an endoscopic brow lift or a temporal brow lift, where just giving like a subtle lift. But again, it's not my area of specialty, but I can certainly, bring him on to understand what's involved with that.
Yeah, that'd be great. We'll do that. Sure. Okay. So subtle tweaks are in.
Yeah. Well, I was there in, but I think we're going to be seeing, meaning I think we're going to be seeing more of it.
Okay.
More
one
people.
Thing that's, yeah. And sorry, one thing that's definitely out, but I hope it turns around in the back half of the year, but definitely out, is the Canadian dollar. I just looked at it. And you know, with the threat of Trump's and, you know, poor leadership from the Liberal Party in Canada, that dollar's below 70 cents. And if we do have tariffs, life just gets even more expensive for people. So, you know, I also think carbon tax is going to be out if we get a change in leadership. You know, the United States doesn't even have a carbon tax.
Yeah.
Canada only emits 1% of the global emissions, of carbon emissions. And yet we have a tax. We've been taxing our people to such a high degree. Now we're importing with such a weak dollar. Add on tariffs. You know, people are like, is there a floor to the Canadian dollar? Like, how much further down can the Canadian dollar go?
I don't want to know the answer to that question.
I know, that's why I'm not going to answer it for you today.
But I think that's why I know we're not a political podcast, but when we were talking about politics, I think that this is the year we're going to see what's out. Is, I think Trudeau's out. I think Poilievre is in. And I think Gavin Newsom is going to be out. And he's California.
California's governor.
Yeah,
you say that because you believe the reports that they didn't have any water in their reservoirs. Is that right?
I think I think that this is a, you know, obviously a natural disaster. Obviously, no one can, you know, yes, there's been climate change. And yes, they have those crazy Santa Ana winds and a very dry climate. And so it's not entirely his fault, but I think there was a lot. I think people are feeling there's a lot of mismanagement. And I
Well,
think
and they didn't clear the brush
didn't
either.
clear the
And that was
brush. They
critical.
didn't clear the brush. They don't have regulations in place in terms of how you have to build, like demanding that, you don't have like a wood roof or something that's easy to burn. They didn't clear the brush. They didn't have water reserves. I mean, I think there was a lot of things that Californians are frustrated about, and they cut the budget to the fire department. And I think, like, if you look at State Farm, who's one of the biggest insurers, we have to think, why did they pull out just a few months ago of insuring so many people in the Pacific Palisades? Why don't they seem to know? So if they knew enough to know, hey, this is a risky area, then shouldn't the government have known enough to say, hey, this is a risky area? What are we doing to mitigate that risk? What are we doing to make sure that we're in the best possible situation when the fire does happen, right? So,
And I'm not familiar with State Farm pulling out, but
they
yeah.
canceled a lot of people's insurance plans just a few months before the fires, and they're refusing to insure people. A lot of people can't get insurance.
And so that's another aspect too, most when you think about the economy and the markets, owning a home now in places like Florida along the coast, that's more expensive. California will be more expensive because, when you bring it back to the stock market and some of these insurance companies like a Travelers or Chubb, which ticker there is CB, AIG, State Farms, those stocks did get hit. And at the end of the day, I mean, I'm reading that the damages are going to be about $150 billion, the damages of structures. But to the cost on the in to the insurance company is going to be like more like, I think it's around $25 billion. I mean, we don't know that number yet. Still obviously a lot, but
So who makes up the difference?
who
The
may,
U.S. government?
I don't know.
Yeah, that it is going to be.
Well, that would just be their exposure. Yeah. I mean, apparently that's the exposure that these whatever, I don't know which insurance companies have the most exposure. But at the same time too, what they'll do is they'll just increase the premiums, right? So sometimes when you see insurance companies' stocks get hit because of disasters, you will often see a lot of portfolio money managers go in and buy those stocks.
Oh, interesting. Why? Because they think it's an opportunity for them to raise rates. And but I think there's a level where people will say, you know what? Not worth it. Not interested in rebuilding there. Give me
For
my
sure.
money for the house and I'll go somewhere else and I'll just leave that land there and not rebuild. And you might end up with a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see what all the damage is, right?
Yeah, it's just wild. It's just so sad. That I was reading something like the amount of area that burned in Pacific Palisades would be the equivalent of all of Manhattan.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like I don't think people realize the scale of
No.
how many structures burned and the massive amount of disruption to business. All the people that live in rent-controlled apartments,
I
those
read 10,
gone.
I
What
read 10,
happens now?
yeah, I
You
think
know?
10,000 structures is what I read.
Yeah, schools. So imagine your house burns down and your kid's school burns down. What do you do? Where do you go?
Yeah, I know. Where you're so displaced.
It's such a tragedy. It's terrible. But I think the people are mad. I think they look at other places that have had fires and they were forced to do certain things to prevent this scale of a disaster. And I don't know why it wasn't done. Look, I
No, I
don't.
don't.
Anyhow. Hindsight's always 2020, right?
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
it's just crazy. Like when you get with one of these, like I can't even imagine a fireman going to a fire hydrant and there's just no water.
I
Like
know.
it seems, you know,
You would never imagine that.
no.
I think it can be true. I know. Moving on for one second, I almost think, I think this is out of consensus, and I think, but it's interesting. I read it again, another interesting research report. I think we're going to see more return to the office.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that apparently like in the US, the remote job postings are falling. And apparently people showing up to work is still less than what the bosses are requiring. And I just wonder if a Trump administration, and I'd like to see it here in Canada, actually, if there's, more of a hey, let's get back to work. And the reason why I'm looking at it from a market and investing perspective is because some of the office REITs, I haven't looked at them in a long time, but they obviously got hurt. And I'm wondering if there's an opportunity there. So I think it's a bit of an out of consensus call to say that there's going to be a real return to office, because we've kind of been going along with this 2 to 3 days a week thing.
I think yes, but I think a lot of the return to office has already happened. And I think the thing is, I don't think it will ever be what it was, though, because I think people are realizing how much they can get done out of office. Like, I think during COVID, it was like all of a sudden these Zoom meetings and things cr were created, and people realized, well, yes, it's good to still be in the office. I think you're definitely more efficient and can get more done. But I think now it's never going to be what it was, like the 5 days a week. And
Yeah, it might not be five, but I think I'm gonna err on the
yeah.
four, because you don't get the camaraderie, you don't get the collaboration, you don't get the creativity. There's no way it's as good to sit at home. I don't think it's good for people mentally either,
No,
actually.
yeah, I agree. And again, with that's also good for something like the retail stocks, like Aritzia, because when people are working from home, you're just wearing sweatpants all day,
Yeah,
And
exactly.
now people have to start dressing to go back to work.
Yep.
Aritzia is great for that, I mean, for women at least.
And it's one other thing too, I think that's going to be in for 2025 is going to be the continuation of cryptocurrencies. So Bitcoin in the fourth quarter, so since President Trump was elected, the value of crypto went from 1.9 to 3.6 trillion. There was that much of a movement into it. And I know you own crypto. And
Well,
again,
but a small portion of my,
I
I have a
know.
little bit,
I know. And so
but yeah,
people,
I do.
And for people to understand, you can buy cryptocurrencies in a form of an ETF, which is how you own it and how I own it too.
Correct.
I own QBTC, and then you own the one that was created from Purpose Investments.
Correct.
Okay, what else is in or out for you?
I'm trying to remember what else we wrote.
You said DEI.
Oh yeah, DEI.
Testosterone. We want to talk. Wait, we've
Hormones,
only got.
hormones, hormones. Okay,
Wait,
yes.
Melissa, I've got a hard out, unfortunately, at three.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something different after you brought up hormones and just...
Oh, and hard. No.
Okay, what time is it?
Okay, we've got 6 minutes.
All
Testosterone
right.
and tea bags.
Yes. Oh, no, shit.
What?
That's a good one. Okay, hormone therapy seems to be in. I mean, last year, anywhere on social media, all you heard about was, we need more funding towards menopausal hormone therapy. More women need to not be scared of hormones. The Women's Health Initiative was flawed. So I think more and more women in perimenopause and menopause aren't as afraid to talk to their doctor about looking at options to go on hormones, but also with men. So we're seeing a lot more men also realizing that, hey, if they have symptoms of low testosterone, like decreased libido, decreased muscle mass, less energy, poor sleep, erectile dysfunction, that maybe they should talk to their doctor, because a lot more men are opting to go on testosterone or similar type medications that boost their testosterone. And people used to be worried, well, is that going to increase my risk of heart attack and cardiovascular disease? And actually, the studies, there was a study, the Traverse study, I think it was, that showed that no, actually, the men who replaced their testosterone had a lower risk heart attack. And I'm even seeing it here, more clinics popping up in Toronto. There's a franchise clinic called Game Day. So this is in the US, and now it's opening up here, and it specializes specifically in men's. It's an interesting area, and I think you're going to see a lot more, people in there, a lot of more men in their 50s and 60s, and looking to get back libido and their vitality and their muscle mass, and starting to, and they've already had children, so they're not as worried about the fear is, if you haven't had children yet, it's a man, if you take testosterone, it could shut down your own production and interfere
Oh.
with spermatogenesis when you're looking to have a child. But for men that are done having kids,
Interesting. I know. I mean, even when you just take a look at Jeff Bezos's pictures today
Oh,
versus
yeah.
years ago, I mean, he's so, lean and beefed up and healthy looking and
Yeah, like for men, it's like testosterone therapy and hair transplants seem to be,
oh yeah.
yeah,
Yeah, we're
they're
gonna do
saying
hair
like,
transplants. Next time we'll do hair transplants because I also,
sure.
we need to talk about ones like things that women can do as well. Because men, like it's 0 to 100, but what can women do to have nicer, thicker hair, really, But
Yeah.
that'll be next time. Tell me about tea bags.
So I read this study. So I saw something and it made me worried that, a lot of people are talking about nanoplastics and microplastics and how they can interfere with our health and they get into our systems. They can get it, they've been found in every single organ in our body and they can be hormone disruptors and we don't know if they're carcinogenic. And so we're all trying to limit the amount of plastics we're exposed to. And one thing I didn't realize was tea bags. So some of the fancier teas, they use plastic tea bags and those leach a ton of microplastics into your tea. So avoid plastic tea bags and even regular tea bags. You use something called, oh, I forget the type of plastic that seals the tea bag. And so if your tea bag has that, it's also leaching plastic. So just make sure that when you're drinking tea, that you're having a brand, the tea bag. If the tea bag is compostable, you can assume that it doesn't have plastic in it. And so I just think we need to try to limit our exposure to these that seem ubiquitous. I mean, they're everywhere, but I think that's going to be something that people are going to really, have to try to figure out how can somehow figure out how to remove this plastic that seems to be, I mean, they found nanoplastics in human brains. In our arteries, it's in our organs, and it might be disrupting our hormones.
I'm
And
sure it is.
yeah, so.
And I always love, like when I sat on the anchor desk every day, the guys were so great. Jordan and Jack, they'd always bring me hot water and a mug, and I'd always forget my tea bags at my desk. They'd go, they were always like, "Would you like me to go get your tea bags?" I'm like, "Yes, please." Every day, drink me dandelion tea. Forgot them every day too. But speaking of tea, and then we'll wrap. It was so amazing at the ranch. They had these big things of tea and hot water, and even like with the water, like they would have pieces of mint. You could put mint in your water with your lemon, and it sounds like, if you're sitting at home and you could go get a Coke or a glass of wine or a beer, that sounds more appealing. But when you're there, you just
Oh,
appreciate it so much. And the tea that they made, and I'm gonna make it tonight, is 1 inch of turmeric. So get real turmeric, take an inch of turmeric, and then take an inch of ginger and add, I forget how much, like I'll put it out on Instagram. Cumin seeds, coriander seeds, and fennel seeds. And you let the ginger and the turmeric boil and steam, whatever, for like 10 minutes, and then you add the seeds in. And it's almost like you're eating something. It was so delicious. Like
Yeah,
it felt like,
very spicy and warm and
yes.
yeah. See, that's an example where you want someone to make that for you. That sounds great, but it sounds hard to do.
I'll try it.
But yeah. Okay.
It was so good. Okay.
All
All
right.
right. That's In and Out 2025.
Sounds good. See you.
Okay, talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.